Hi, I'm Jaina, and I'm an addict. And so I'm a little nervous, and also because there's a couple people here. I'm new on the block, so I've done a bunch of shares, and there's a couple people that have heard me about two or three times already. So anyway, but I'll just try to keep it real here. I've just moved here from Los Angeles. I'm here for about a year, and so I've just been going to lots of meetings and being that obnoxious American who comes and says, "Hi, what's your name? Can I be your friend?" And, you know, but it's about, you know, it really is about, I'm not supposed to swear, saving my butt and not my face, you know, and that the first thing to do, the first thing that I've done moving here is to, that I'm doing is establishing the meetings that I'm going to go to, or meetings to go to, and some commitments, and getting stuck in, as someone said, and as the first and the last thing, you know, as my priority, as in putting this program first, before anything else. 15 minutes. So I came into the rooms in May of 1985. I was 18 years old and strung out on heroin. This was in San Francisco. This is where I got clean. I'd had a lot of drugs in my life growing up. My mother was a product of her time and embraced the zeitgeist, as it were. So I grew up with lots of drugs around me. But, you know, my story is, other than that, fairly typical. I picked up when I was about 11 at a wedding. My first drug that I picked up was alcohol. And from the very, very beginning, it was, you know, I just knew that we couldn't go anywhere until all of the booze was gone. You know, like these kids were taking a couple of sips and leaving, and I was like, why are you guys leaving? This is, you know, we have like a whole case of champagne to drink, you know. So I blacked out from the first, you know, that was sort of my model for what a good time was from then on. Blacking out, almost dying, waking up, you know, with my face red from being slapped, covered with water because people were trying to get me to come to. That was a good night, you know. And I'm really excited about how my ideas of what fun is has changed over the years. So I came in, and when I came into NA at the time in San Francisco, there weren't a lot of young people. There were young people, but they were in, and I had a resentment about this for so many years. They were the rich kids whose parents had put them through rehab who were going to AA meetings, right? And so I used to cross the tracks and go to those meetings with them sometimes. But my heart was in NA from the very beginning, and I didn't care if I was, you know, the only, I had so much identification from the very beginning that the outsides, I really got that, you know, that the outsides aren't what need to match, you know, aren't what need to resonate. And listening to people talk from their heart, from their vulnerability, from, you know, listening to people who were staying clean one day at a time, is what really got me. I had gotten 12-stepped by a young skateboarder kid who had gotten sober, that I used to hang out with. I mean, we were sort of close, even though I was on the drug side and he was on the booze side, but we were in the same sort of crew, and he got sober and 12-stepped me. And I remember there was a newspaper man came around. We were sitting in the Union Square in San Francisco, and this newspaper guy came around asking what was the most fun thing that we had ever done. He was doing some sort of story. And my friend came up with all this fantastic stuff, and the only thing I could think of, this is when I was still out there, so I'm jumping around a bit, was how high I had gotten. the night before, you know? That was the only thing I could think of. I couldn't think of anything what you would think of was fun, you know? I guess that's my Pee Wee Herman word of the night, is fun. Let's see. So I came in, from my first meeting, you know, I came in and I thought I was, you know, I was trying to be all tough, and I had this little leather jacket I used to wear, you know, and I keep my rigs in under the pocket, and, you know, and I came in all tough. And the minute I started listening to people share, my front just came down, and I remember I went into the bathroom and cried, and, you know, I just started crying. I thought, you know, this is a phase. I thought I'm the only one. I was, you know, terminally unique, like we all are, you know, and I just remember following around these, you know, ex-prostitutes and pimps and bikers, and they gave me so much unconditional love, and this is what I was craving the whole time. The whole time was just some real contact, some real love, you know? You know, working the steps, getting service, outside help, really, you know, sinking myself into my recovery. And this lasted, you know, I went back to school. My world got really big. I actually, you know, from being a dropout, a high school dropout on the streets, I went back to graduate. I actually made it to graduate school, and I got my PhD from Yale University at the end of the day, you know, as a direct result of having put this program first. And but there's more. So, you know, I also went through periods, and this is becoming clearer and clearer to me, of being dry, which is when I was going to some meetings, but I wasn't really, I didn't have any service, I wasn't sponsoring anybody. You know, sometimes I'd have a sponsor, but not really be calling them, you know. And I never identified that as dry before, but now I'm realizing, because I thought dry just meant you were angry and resentful all the time and wanted to pick up. And I never felt like that. But what would happen was my life would get really messy. I'd start making like kind of whack decisions and choices. And my behavior would get like kind of mad, you know? And, you know, I also have pretty severe depression, or I have had and have suffered from. And it's been really a process for me to kind of understand the relationship or accept or not understand the relationship between, you know, my fucked up childhood, my depression, and my addiction, you know, and what's what. And I guess now I just realize I don't have to understand it. I just have to stay clean. You know? And so, you know, my wacky, wicky, wacky, dry ways led me to, at about 18 or 19 years of recovery, finding myself with a group of Cubans in the ghetto cleaning their guns, right? At the same time as I was on a fellowship at Stanford University during the day. So this is the kind of, like, at 19 years of being clean, you know. And so, you know, I actually went into rehab at 19 years. I went into a codependency rehab, and it was wonderful. And I cried because I said I always wanted to go to rehab. I was so jealous of those kids, you know. So I got to go to this fancy rehab, and it was the best thing I did. And I heard an old timer recently sharing and saying that the hardest thing to do when you get a lot of time is to just be, you know, or that it can be really difficult to be in a room and say, I'm feeling absolutely dreadful. My needs are just the same as everyone else's right now, you know. And what happened to me was, and I'll speed it up here, and I'll fall off the pedestal very quickly in a moment. At 22 years, I found out that I couldn't have any children. And this was absolutely devastating to me. It was the biggest grief, and it is the biggest grief, I think, I've had. And my response to that was to decide that there was no God. And I started pulling away from all of the programs that I was participating in, because I also was in Al-Anon, and I've been in a lot of different, I qualified for all of them, five? Okay. So I started pulling away, and it took 6 years, 6 years of pulling away, 6 years of being fine, my career going well, for me to then pick up again. And it wasn't, and I'm here to report that it wasn't because I had a craving, it wasn't because everything was going terribly, it was because things were going well in the outside, you know? And I picked up after 28 years of clean time, I picked up. I stayed out there for a year, and I was determined to prove to people that, to myself, that I wasn't an addict. So I didn't use what I wanted, I didn't use the ones I wanted to use. Right? That works, right? So I drank red wine, and that was what got me, was that I was at a fancy dinner and somebody offered me this fancy glass of wine, and I said, it's fancy, I'm fancy, I can do fancy, right? So unless my wine had legs on it, I wouldn't drink it, you know? And it didn't work. You know, so I ended up drinking wine with legs and smoking weed every day, you know, and that was my life. And my world got very, 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 very small. And I just would sit at home and smoke weed and eat. And I gained about 100 pounds. And so my story is not glamorous at all. And, you know, the thought of where that could have led me. And I've, you know, it's opened me up to how many different kinds of stories people have in these rooms, you know? Different, you know, periods of time people don't use, people do maintenance, then people hit a huge bottom, some people, you know, all the different shapes and sizes that we come in, it's really important, I mean, for me to hear, you know, that it's not what or how much that we use. But only that we want to do something about it. So, you know, and I'm really, really lucky that I got into enough pain without, well, it's still so strange because, you know, I mean, I got offered, you know, one of my denial came back really very strong. And I'd always prided myself on having a fantastic first step, you know. You feel it in your body. That's how you know. I always tell my sponsees, feel it in your cells. Feel what that craving feels like. That's your first step. It's a physical feeling, you know? But this disease is so cunning, you know? And what it told me was, well, you said no to that line that guy offered you, so you obviously don't have a problem anymore, you know? You grew out of it, or something my head had to tell me, you know? But the reason I said no was because I didn't know where that guy's stash was, and one line was not enough. And when I, you know, and when I finally started writing about it, I went, oh, that's what it was, you know. But it took me to be writing and working on the step for a while to get to that truth. It was like, no, man, one is too many and 1,000 never enough. And yeah, so I'll wrap up. It's been a year and a half. And I feel like I have permission now, you know, which I don't say I wish I had, but now I know I have the information that it doesn't matter how much time I have, it doesn't matter for me to come in here and be real, you know, because I was shitting on myself before. Well, you should have already gotten over all your childhood issues. Oh, well, you should already be levitating or something, you know what I mean, by 28 years or whatever. But you don't, you know, and I see people come in and get all this great shit on the outside and then lose it all and then get some more great shit and then, you know what I mean? Like, you see people go through the cycles, and I guess this is just my cycle. So, but I am so glad to be back. I've been had a renewed relationship with the program, and have permission now to just beginner's mind. That's what I say. I have a beginner's mind. I'm willing to go to any length, just like before. And it doesn't matter how much I know. I could talk a long game, all the stuff I learned. But if I'm not practicing it, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's about practicing what I'm told, what the suggestions are. And the one thing, and I'll end with this, that I'm really grateful for is that I have a relationship with my higher power now again, you know? And that doesn't mean I don't get to grieve, because I that's part of it. But, you know, realizing that it's a God that's not about rewarding me, you know? Well, I've been good these many years, so I deserve X, Y, Z. You know, it's not a rewarding God. You know, and, you know, but I have a deep, deep relationship. And in the mornings, you know, and just all through the day being guided by, you know, I'm more than my illness. I'm also a child of God, you know, not to sound too Christian, but, you know, I'm also all this other great stuff. And so that's what I want to listen to and concentrate on and to the best of my ability practice. And I've got to say, I've been really wonderfully welcomed here in London, and everybody's, you know, it's just made me feel so good. People have been so open and friendly with me. And it's like that kind of connection, you know, and Bill Wilson says this about that's the absolute most important thing, is the connections that we make between each other, you know. And on that level, that's anonymous. It's not about your name or what you do. It's that heart-to-heart connection that we can make in the rooms. You know, even if I only see you on Friday nights or whatever, you know, is absolutely, you know, the bee's knees. So I've got this one day reprieve, and I really thank you for asking me to speak.
Thank you.